You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
Today, Radiant Creators is talking to Randall from Crypto Love. And how do you always start your shows?
Boom shakalaka.
It just would not be the same without that at all. So your YouTube channel, you've got, gosh, over 88,000 subscribers. That's insane. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. And 88 is the speed from Back to the Future. I thought that was pretty cool recently.
Oh, that's a fun synchronicity. So let's do an icebreaker. It's always fun. Like,
cool.
Do you think that, what are your feelings on? So cryptocurrency, is it a peaceful revolution?
Yes, absolutely a revolution. There's even talk today about this thing that Satoshi Nakamoto may have invented time travel, or may have been an alien from the future coming back to bring us Bitcoin because of the hash of the initial Genesis block is so large that it would have taken like a long time to mine it. So, but other than that, I think it is a revolution in finance, meaning we don't need governments anymore. We don't even need banks because basically you have with the algorithm eliminating double spending, you just don't have a need for them anymore. So we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, it seems like cryptocurrency is educating a lot of people in how money works and how it's so. I never really realized until I got into crypto a bit. Well, I guess into crypto, how your every transaction, everything you do, your every thought, if possible, they're working on that, is tracked. Like in a sense, there's really a lack of freedom when you use fiat currency, and you don't really feel it until you start to get into crypto and realize, like, there's a mass education going on right now in how the world works.
Absolutely, our privacy has been invaded on a massive degree. I just read this book, an amazing book called The Code Book, all about encryption. Just because I'm trying to learn more about cryptography and everything crypto related, and it's just amazing how much everything we do is just scanned by different people who really have no need to know our business, but they just search for it. And so getting into cryptocurrency, I mean, people who don't know much about Bitcoin hear about Bitcoin and they're like, oh, that's that thing that can't be traced that people use to buy drugs and whatever. But actually with Bitcoin, it actually can be tracked. And I think the NSA working with, I think it was Amazon, is able to determine pretty much who most of the Bitcoin wallet holders are. The NSA apparently also knows who Satoshi Nakamoto is. So all of these things say, well, maybe that privacy isn't secure enough. There's other more private options, things like Monero that use these crazy encryption methods to just make it completely secure. And I read something the other day that, you know, back in the beginning of the in the 1700s, like when the United States was created, all people had to do to make sure a conversation was private was, you know, look around them and make sure no one was hiding in the bushes and they could have a private conversation. But nowadays, we can't do that. I mean, everybody has the little Amazon Echo devices. Everybody has cell phones. They're all listening all the time. So privacy is gone. But at least with cryptocurrencies, that helps us take back a little bit of the privacy of where we spend our money. And with Monero and other really secure things like that, we can even have more privacy.
Oh, I get it for sure. I'm a big fan of Cloak Coin. I think that one is cool too. So, yeah. Mm. So you seem to be... So one thing I noticed about your channel is that you're optimistic and happy, go lucky, you know, even with a beard, you're go lucky and happy. And it seems like you're trying to make the world a happier place. And so it seems like there's two ways of thinking with crypto. You can look at it and say, or I guess you could, with life in general, I want to be happy, healthy, and wise, or you can be fat, dumb, and happy. And so in crypto right now, there's a lot of, I mean, that's since a lot of negativity where everybody is saying, you know, where's my Lambo? And I can't wait till Bitcoin crashes to like a dollar so I can buy it. And I mean, like in times like right now when crypto is sideways, I don't even really pay attention to some of the forums that I belong to because I'm like, I just don't want to hear it, you know? So do you feel like you're kind of a lighthouse? Do you ever feel like you're an island out there being positive in the crypto world right now, saying, hey, people, be optimistic about life and crypto and pet your dog and grow a beard?
Yeah, everybody should grow a beard. Well, you know, it's kind of how you choose to look at life. It takes the same amount of effort to be negative as to be positive. And so doing that in cryptocurrency, like I really don't look at what's going on in the moment with crypto. I never got into crypto thinking that it was a, you know, something that would make me rich today. But I realize it's something that this is a change that's going to impact everyone's lives over the next 5, 10, 20, 50 years. It's a revolution that we're able to really participate in. So I think a lot of my positivity draws from that, the overall picture, but also just the overall community coming together with cryptocurrencies, because you don't see that many other tight-knit communities. One reason why I don't see too much negativity is I just don't do social media. Like years ago when I was in college, I just gave up using all social media. So like Twitter and all that stuff, I auto-post on there. I have people take care of that for me. But like there's a lot of negativity on Twitter. There's a lot of negativity on social media, but I just try and contribute because I think that it makes me happy. This is me being selfish. It makes me happy to be able to help out other people. And so that's one of the main reasons that I do it, because I feel like I can potentially contribute to other people as well.
Yeah. So the YouTube content that you're creating and the training materials that you've created, is that what you're doing to make your way right now, along with crypto, being a crypto genius?
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much. So there's a few ways that I've monetized myself. One is through the courses that I sell, and I'm revamping them to create a brand new academy that should be coming out soon. Two, I make t-shirts and stuff like the one that I wear and sell those. So those are pretty cool. Third, I've done pretty well trading. Like I was very fortunate in that I got in the beginning of 2017, which is a very advantageous time to get in before the huge run-up, and that I was able to pick some winners and sell them at high positions. So I was able to do pretty well there. But I think going forward, my main way of monetizing is probably going to be through the academy that I'm going to have and things like that. And then just from hodling crypto, like over the long term, I see there's predictions that we could have a $20 trillion market cap, which means that everyone's going to have 100 times what they have now. So I think all of that is probably how I'll do well in the future.
Yeah, it seems like the people who actually hodl, like, I mean, I do the hodl, of course, but I have to admit, really, when I look at my shorts, my day trading, if I look at that, yeah, I make money. But the thing is, honestly, if I just do dollar cost averaging on the big three, Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum, mm-hmm. I make more money. I mean, sometimes you hit that cool moon. I mean, sometimes you do, but it's, you know, I do long for the market where you can just kind of, well, dollar cost average and make money. That's a wonderful place to be. So I'm optimistic and hoping for that. Now let's get that rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll start seeing that again, if not sooner.
Yeah. So producing content for your YouTube channel and, well, basically, you know, you're doing video production and you're also, that's a lot of work. I mean, and so you do it daily. So did you just train yourself? Did you just, I want to do this? And so what I might ask if I reform that a little bit is, so you got a big YouTube channel. I mean, given the average, 88K is a lot of people. And you're putting out content daily. How did you learn to do that? Did you just turn the camera on, didn't learn anything? I mean, what's that process been from I'm not doing it to now I'm doing it? And did you really think when you started you're going to have 88,000 people? Did you just do it for you? Like, I just feel like talking out loud, or was it always the mission?
Yeah, so let's see. I think that the overall how things turned out was basically due to that saying that luck is where preparation and opportunity meet. So I think that's really why I am where I am. When I first started, I had no idea that I would have a quote-unquote successful YouTube channel. I was watching, it was right before the Bitcoin Bcash hard fork, and I didn't know what to do with my Bitcoin. I didn't know if I was going to lose it or what, so I started researching, and I found some YouTube videos. I saw some by Crypto Daily, and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's hilarious. I want to try that. So I just started doing it, started making videos, and I was like, I'm going to make a video a month and just see how it turns out. And then when I got to that, I was like, if I make a video, continue doing for another month, I'll buy myself a new computer, because my old computer, it took like over an hour to render each video. So like that was my inspiration. Then I was like, I've already done 60 days. Let's go for 100 straight. And then once I got there, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do a video a day for a year. And I'm 10 months in right now. So I'm coming up close to that. So that was part of it, just the consistency of doing it over and over again. But I also think that, going back to the initial saying, luck is where preparation and opportunity meet, I think this was an awesome opportunity that I caught it where I did right before the market run up, but also preparation, because, you know, aside from doing my normal adult job type things, like I was a computer programmer and then a veterinarian, but I've always done stuff on the side for additional income. Like I did real estate wholesaling for a while. I did SEO for a long time. And I think some of the things I learned from SEO were helpful in what I've done, because that's where I learned how to do the most basic video stuff, like where I capture the screen and talk into it, because I do that for clients. And then also just learning how stuff gets searched for and found on YouTube. That was helpful as well. So having that preparation matched with the opportunity, the timing of the market, I think that's kind of how it all worked out well together.
I like that. And so there's an event you went to. I think you spoke at it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but in all the little, it said, you know, here are our speakers or something like that. And they had all these like cool, you know, like very business looking symbols. Then they had the crypto love unicorn farting at Bitcoin. And something I like about your channel is that it is just truly authentic randomness. You're like the uncarved block, like or the uncarved beard, you know. You really put yourself out there. You're like, this is me. I like sexy women. I'm gonna, those are always gonna be my covers for stuff. Do you like being an entertainer? Like, what's it like to, has that been challenging to like, just to really put yourself out there? Cause you're not putting out this just like sharp business edge. You're putting out, this is me, you know? And a lot of people do not have that confidence. They're very, very afraid of that. They would hide behind a sharp corporate logo, you know, but you're like, no, unicorn farting at Bitcoin, and this is me. So what's it like being you, putting yourself out there? And also at that conference you were at, what was it like seeing that? Like all these sharp logos, and then there's like the Crypto Love logo. That made my week. I loved that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think that was for the Blockchain Economic Forum in Singapore. Yeah, it was great because they just had all these like legitimate news corporations logos. And then there was, unicorn farting out of Bitcoin. I think it's a great opportunity. Like when I first started getting into YouTube, I think when I first started getting into YouTube, one of the people who I watched for a long time on YouTube, his name is Alex Becker. I actually learned how to do SEO from him. He always says like, it's important to be opinionated and to be yourself, because you know what? There's over 7 billion people on the planet. A lot of them have access to the internet. The people who like you are going to find you, and then they're going to stick with you because they want to see you. Like what you say doesn't matter as much as who you are at that point. And I related to that because I would love watching Becker's videos just because it was him talking. Like I didn't care what he talked about. He would talk about SEO. He would talk about Star Wars. He would talk about the latest video games, but it didn't matter because I related to his personality. And so that was kind of one way that helped me form the channel in the beginning. It is, you know, like sometimes I think people don't take me as seriously because, you know, I'll curse on the channel and I have pictures of scantily clad women, and I'll say stuff that, you know, maybe people don't like, and I have a picture of a unicorn shooting a Bitcoin out of his butt. But in the essence, like, that stuff comes naturally. That makes me happy. And I think that the people who actually watch the channel will relate, because that strikes a chord with them. And the people who it doesn't relate to, that's fine as well. They'll find another channel, because there's tons of options out there for them.
I find that some of the best parts of podcasts are the parts that get cut. It's before and it's after. You know, so I've always thought, no, as soon as you start recording, like, let that be the beginning and let the end be the end. Don't have this, like, this polished part in the middle, because you're cutting off all the good stuff. The middle sucked, actually. Before and after was the best part. And people just don't, they hide that. That's like having that sharp corporate logo and not a unicorn, you know, blowing a Bitcoin out of its butt. You know?
Yeah.
So since you're actually doing it, since you're putting yourself out there, do you have, like, what's helped you cultivate the confidence to put your face out there every day, to put Randall out there every day? I mean, it may sound very easy to you, but I would say that is something that I just know a lot of people are really struggling with, that confidence to put their voice out there. They're like, oh, no, you know, not going to do it. And so, do you have any tips for people? Like, where'd you cultivate that confidence to put your voice and your face out there? Authentic Randallness. This is it.
Yeah. There was a book that I read. It was called How to Be an Imperfectionist. And that was a very helpful book for me, because it just showed the benefits of just getting something done. And in the beginning, like I said, I had those mini goals of, you know, just doing a video a day for a month, and then a video a day for 2 months, and then now it's a video a day for a year. And that really helped me get out there, because I saw that it didn't matter if I had a headache, if I was hungover, if there was nothing going on in the markets, if I just felt absolutely terrible about whatever, I would put a video out anyways. And the funny thing is, you never know how videos are going to do. Like, some of the videos that I thought were going to be the best videos ever that everyone was going to watch, nobody watched them. And some videos that I thought were terrible, everybody watched them. So it was just kind of getting stuff out there and not worrying too much, because obviously the trolls are always going to be more vocal. But it's, you know, I've never commented on someone's thing like, ah, you're a terrible person. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And it's just like, it makes me wonder, like, who are these people who just, like, what are they doing where they need to go and do that stuff? So really just having the confidence to go out there every day and make it kind of like a discipline of doing it every day. And then just really cherishing the positive response I get from people.
Yeah, it's I guess making that habit, doing it daily. I know that helps me, like with our little project we have here. We had to push for a little while, but now I understand how success can destroy many businesses and endeavors. I mean, it's not going to destroy this one, but all of a sudden when success happens, that changes everything. And you're like, oh my gosh, I went from, you know, an interview a month to now having ramping up to maybe two or three or a week or one a day. And then the whole idea of getting those out there, it's like, ooh, this has become, I mean, it's success. It's wonderful. But I like what you're saying about just make it a habit. Just set some kind of a goal that puts you out there and just do it every day or weekly. Like, whatever your discipline is, just do it. I like that. That's just show up. Just do it. I like that. That's words of wisdom from Randall. So you have some videos on YouTube about how to, like kind of from starting from zero, how to actually get into crypto to buy some Bitcoin. And I'll link those in the show notes. But Is that still your intro? Is that how you would recommend a person who they don't know anything about Bitcoin, anything about crypto, but they'd like to get involved in some way? Are those still your gold standard?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is not a financial advisor, not financial advice. But if I was to get in again, I would, if I didn't have the channel, honestly, probably what I would just do is dollar cost average Bitcoin and just set it and forget it. Like, if I wasn't doing this, that's what I would do. Things may change in the next few years with the ease of people being able to get into cryptos from fiat or like U.S. dollars or pounds or whatever. So things may change, but I think Bitcoin's still the gold standard. And then really the market is growing so much and the ecosystem is growing so much that, you know, some people may not have the money to get in, like particularly younger people who are maybe in high school or in college, something like that. They may not have the money to invest. And for them, there's an even better opportunity because there's 1,600 cryptocurrencies that are severely understaffed right now. And they can pay you in cryptocurrencies that are likely to appreciate in the upcoming years. So like getting involved with them, you can do work for them for money. You can get free airdrops, all different types of opportunities abound for people who want to get into cryptocurrency. It just requires a little bit of time and effort to get involved.
And you've done, I believe, some at least one YouTube video on exactly that, the ways you're speaking of to get involved in crypto if you're not outright investing in buying crypto. Yeah, because there's ways you can get involved. You can be part of the peaceful revolution even if you don't have any money. You definitely can. So, you know, I'm intrigued, of course, about how a person gets to the point of what they're doing. And so you're doing something pretty great. You're putting positive energy out there into the crypto world, into the world, really. You're saying, hey, everybody, be happy, healthy, and wise. It's a good thing. You can do it. And in kind of a YouTube universe, which is not always even, well, friendly, positive to say the least, including about cryptos. I mean, I follow a lot of YouTube channels, and it's pretty much how we're jacked every single day. Oh, yeah, check it out. We're going to zero. So I'm kind of curious, since you're so positive, in the history of you. So you've done a vast amount of, you're kind of a renaissance man. You've done a lot of different stuff to get you to this moment. So with what you're willing to divulge, like, what was your evolutionary path to get to this moment? You've been a programmer and a vet, and then you didn't like being a vet. Like, you are a mysterious man. So let us know a little bit about the how crypto love became the love.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because in high school I won most mysterious. but so it's just, you know, it's kind of a journey. My life's been a journey of trying to discover what my passions are and then figure out how to spend most of my time doing that. And I never had traditional education that great of a time in, because I guess I had like a problem with authority. And so in high school, I had issues where I wasn't even able to graduate high school on time because I stopped going to an English class because I had an argument with the teacher over Siddhartha. And so I couldn't graduate high school, had to go to summer school, went to college, studied physics and philosophy because that's what the people from Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, my favorite book at the time, had done. And in college, I learned computer programming, and I did my senior research with a quantum mechanics professor. And so all of his work was programmed in Fortran, which is a very old programming language. I had to learn that. And finishing that, I got a job contracting for NASA doing satellite programming in Fortran, which I couldn't stand. It was absolutely the worst, the worst possible job I could have imagined. It was just like 40 hours a week in a depressing office with a bunch of other depressed guys. And I was like, get me out of here. So I quit that. I moved to France for a couple of years, went to a French language school, learned how to speak French, and then taught English at a high school there for a year. And while I was doing that, I applied to vet school because I wanted to be a dairy vet, work with dairy cows. I have fond memories of that from childhood. And got into vet school in Grenada in the Caribbean, went to school there, did very well. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I feel like I was deceived because they never tell you how expensive vet school is going to be in the beginning, and then they never tell you how little you're going to make getting out. So, you know, I graduated with a lot of debt, and to be a cow vet, I would have been making even less money than I was making as a programmer and working like 24/7. So I just became an emergency veterinarian for small animals and was making good money doing that, but really did not enjoy it. It was kind of like soul-crushing work for me. And so while I was doing that, I was trying other things to, one, pay off debt, and two, try and find another avenue for me to go down. So I was doing real estate wholesaling just after like 2008, buying and selling houses at a discount. And then I went and I taught surgery down in at vet school in the Caribbean for a little while. And while I was doing that, I couldn't do the real estate wholesaling. So I learned SEO because if I had internet access, I could start doing that. So I built up an SEO business on the side. And then once that became less interesting, I stopped doing that. And the YouTube thing, I just kind of lucked into that. Like I said, I started doing it because it was fun and interesting. And then it kind of took off, and I realized, and actually it was kind of the universe pushing me out of veterinary medicine, because I was working as a relief vet. So I was working in multiple different vet hospitals at the time. And in the same week, I went from two places let me go. So I went from working 6 days a week to one day a week in a week's time. And I was like, well, I guess this is the universe saying maybe this isn't for me. I was kind of crushed at the time. I didn't know what to do. I kind of knew what to do, but I was like, ugh, now I got to go find more vet jobs and everything. And it just so turned out that like Indahash sent me a message saying, hey, you want to come to, we'll fly you to Poland to just cover our ICO. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. So then I spoke with them. They told me about how I could start creating products and stuff like that to sell. So that's when I built up the some of the products that I have. And really, it just kind of rolled from there. So I think it's kind of being guided by the universe a little bit, but finding something that I'm very passionate about and that I enjoy doing, and just being able to do that every day.
Yeah, I like that. It's a life of following your excitement that really works, you know. So do you think SEO is still relevant? I mean, it was quite the business for a while. I mean, is this SEO optimization still truly relevant, or have the search engines just gotten smart enough just to figure it out?
Yeah, I think it's still relevant as long as you have a someone who's very good at it, who knows what they're doing. Because a lot of people get into SEO because they hear of this passive income dream. So, you know, they're out there selling SEO before they even know what it is and how to do it. And that's a lot of the issues that I ran into when I was doing SEO, is just kind of cleaning up the messes of other people who didn't know what they were doing. But one thing that I did with the channel that I really loved was I wanted to see what organic search results would do. Like, I wanted to see what it looked like organically for something to grow. So the first – it took me, I think, 2 months to get 1,000 subscribers on the channel. And – so just seeing how slowly it grew, but at the same time it was growing. Like, I remember the first time I had a video that got over 1,000 views, I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And then just kind of seeing it grow from there, and also watching the growth, how it kind of ebbs and flows with market cycles as well. That's another interesting thing. So SEO still can be very useful if you have someone who really knows what they're doing. And if you even need it. Because like some competitive niches like plastic surgery, yeah, you're probably going to need someone to do SEO for you. Some less competitive stuff, like if you're the only bakery in your town, you probably don't need to hire someone to do SEO for you. You could read a couple articles online and figure out how to come up first in all the search results. So if you actually need it, but otherwise the search engines have made it where they want organic results to actually show up. So they've made it easy enough to where anyone can do pretty well organically.
And it sounds like you, along with following your passions and looking for what excited you following it and doing it. I like that because it's very non-conventional. There's a saying that's oftentimes used to mock, and it's a jack of all trades, master of none. And you hear that, and I've always thought, hey, it works for me. I'm doing quite well, you know. But part of that saying was left out. I guess the original and the real one was jack of all trades, master of none, often better than a master of one. You know, so I like that. I mean, I enjoy the way you lived your life and the way you're living your life. And I'd say that Fortran is a programming language, and that is damn horrifying. And I can see why that could definitely scar a person, and how working in that environment can be difficult, because I did some work at JPL, you know, Jet Propulsion Laboratories. And I mean, I think that honestly, I would have a better time like sliding out one of those things in a morgue and just bringing up a chair and just working around dead people would be so much more cheer than working at JPL. I'm like, how do these damn rockets get off the ground? You people are so morbid. It's like life, people, life. I mean, you're doing something cool, but no, there's no cool factor there. It's just very depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I was just out of college, and I could not imagine doing that for the rest of my life. Like, it was the most daunting thing ever to imagine doing that for the next 30, 40 years.
I agree. Yeah, I think when I was at JPL, it was said that it's like the like per square foot, it's the most PhDs in the world. And I was like, well, then I don't want a PhD because they cause the most rank depression on this planet. Even when they're doing something cool, they're playing with rockets. But no, there ain't no fun there. So I'd like to ask, what is your, so you are doing a show every day, and that's a dang crap load of work. So you are reading a lot, researching a lot, and you're getting the shows out every day. And so what does your creative process look like? So in a day in the life of Crypto Love, you wake up, and then by the end of the day, you've put content out. And so what does that content cycle look like for you? Because it's a daunting amount of work, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. It's more than a full-time job. And right now, for the past like month or so, I've been doing about 12 videos a week because I do daily news videos as well. So it's even more. You know, some people say when you're doing what you love, it's not really work. So like, even though I'm working and a lot of times it's like forcing myself to get stuff done, I do enjoy a lot of it. But in terms of the question of like what my daily schedule looks like, the most important parts for me are not actually the making videos and everything. It's kind of setting up my day for success. So like, I wake up, I meditate, I work out, I listen to some motivational stuff, I do some gratitude journaling, and then once I've kind of set up my morning, then I get on with my day. Because it's just incredible the amount, they say if you win the first hour, you win the rest of the day, and it's just amazing the impact that those first hour or two makes in the morning. And then, you know, with what I do with creating stuff, so first thing I have is I do a news video at noon Eastern time, so I have to start researching for that, find out what's been going on in the markets. So that takes usually an hour or two to get ready for that. And then I do the live news video. And then as soon as that's done, I got to start getting ready for the video at 5 o'clock if I haven't already made it before. So I try and keep the content relevant. So doing a lot more reading, a lot more research. I've also been doing a lot more CEO interviews recently. So I have those spattered throughout the day. I mean, one day I think I did 3 of them in a day, and that was just bonkers. Just because I feel like in order to interview a CEO, you got to know the project as well as they do. So that includes reading a white paper, which could be 20 to 50 pages, and trying to grasp the concepts as well as they do. And so there's a lot of reading. I'm fortunate that I like to read a lot, and also I think I'm probably faster than the average person at reading. Like, I've taken speed reading courses, and while I don't enjoy pure speed reading, I can kind of skim through stuff, find the important stuff. So I think I have at least an advantage in that aspect, but just kind of working throughout the day. I do take a break in the afternoon. I do yoga at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, take a little break for myself, but then back to work, and oftentimes working till like 10 at night. Sometimes even later with these interviews, because CEOs are all over the world. I've been interviewing CEOs from China, from Singapore, from all over. And so like sometimes I'll be up till 11, even midnight interviewing them. But it's something that I find very enjoyable. And I know that it's benefiting at least some people. So if I can bring the content to them, like, it's kind of my way of being a vessel for the universe to work through.
I like that. Do you ever feel that it creates a positive pressure to keep learning, because people expect it? It seems like a very good discipline. People expect the content, so you got to create it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a funny catch 22, because I feel like I know less now than I did when I first started the YouTube channel, even though that's not true. I know way more than I do now, but I also know all that stuff that I don't know. And so it seems like, oh my goodness, there's this whole other big area of stuff that I have to learn, have to know about. And it's tough. It's even tough doing reviews now, because I feel like I have to really know everything in so much depth, in so much detail, and analyze it, and fact check it, and everything. Whereas back when I first started making reviews, I was like, this is a pretty website. I think this is a decent project. This should be good.
So you're into health, and that's good, because I think definitely people who are into technology especially can oftentimes use a little bit of health. So that's great. So you fast on Tuesdays, and you do yoga, and you like to meditate in the morning, and you like to read or listen to some motivational content yourself. I'm curious, first of all, what kind of yoga do you do? Do you do hot yoga? And also, what's the current motivational stuff you're listening to, and what are some of your favorites?
Yeah, so good question. So in terms of motivation, it's kind of like back in the day, I just typed motivation into, actually the first video that came up was how bad do you want success? How bad do you want it? And it's a motivational speech by Eric Thomas about you got to want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe. And so that was, I think, the initial one that got me into it. But I love listening to Eric Thomas and Les Brown and Will Smith and Jim Carrey and all these different people on YouTube who publish this motivational stuff, because it just reminds me that the potential that's there for humans. Like, the only thing stopping us really in the end is ourselves and what we think about it. So it helps remind me on a daily basis that, you know, anything that I don't have now that I want to have, or anything that I'm not doing that I want to do, it's only that way because that's what I believe. So I just need to change that belief to get there. And then in terms of all the health stuff, so yeah, I think, you know, for a while I didn't really treat my body well. Part of it was I was fat when I was a kid, and I absolutely hated that. And so like once I figured out I could change that, I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm changing that. And then also, like, I smoked cigarettes when I was younger, and that wasn't great for the health. So kind of realizing that even though I'm not my mind and I'm not my body, I still have to take care of them. So I still have to think positive thoughts. I still have to take care of my body. So I've been on kind of a transition. Like, for a while, I was I did, like, no-carb diets. And then a couple of years ago, I was curious. I was like, why are all these realized masters vegetarians, like Gandhi, Dalai Lama, Buddha, all these people, why are they vegetarians? So I just started watching documentaries on vegetarians, and I just stopped eating meat. And then recently I became a raw vegan. So like I only eat raw foods, which is crazy. And I fast on Tuesdays just because, you know, who needs to eat 7 days a week? And I also do intermittent fasting like every night. Like I don't eat for 12 hours at a time. So all this stuff is just like little tricks that kind of help. And yoga, I mean, I love doing yoga. It's just such a nice release. I grew up doing Bikram, so I really do like Bikram yoga, but the place near me just smells abysmal, so I don't do Bikram here. Fortunately, there's another place across the street. It's a hot vinyasa class, so I do that, and it's really, really nice. More than the class is just the atmosphere there. Like, everyone smile. The people who work at the front desk are like smiling, and they greet you by your name when you walk in. And everyone's really happy, and they love the classes. So like that environment, just surrounding myself with that environment, and then like meditation as well. Like that's a big thing for me. Meditation. So twice a week, I go to this meditation place, and I do sound healing meditations, and I do Tantra Kriya yoga, and all this different stuff. And it's just kind of surrounding myself with positive environments and positive communities, and help bringing the positive stuff so I can stop worrying as much about me and really start giving more of myself.
I like that. It's deliberately surrounding yourself with the energy that you want to be. I mean, our environment's a big deal if we're in that, which is a great reason to kind of make your own way in life and get out of the corporate world, because even at its best, it sucks ass. And I mean, you're going to be swimming upstream hardcore on the best day. And it's not even a stream. It's shit creek. And and you're swimming upstream, and you're trying to be positive, and you have that positivity. But yeah, I like the way that you surround yourself with the energy that you want to be, because it helps. And if a person's fortunate enough to be able to do that, it's like, get out there and do it. Oh, my heavens. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if I can add on that, yes. I mean, working for yourself is something where you have a direct influence over how hard you work and how much money you make, as opposed to working for someone else where you know how much you're going to make at the end of the year. There's like no inspiration to do any more work. And you see that a lot when you go out and people are just doing the bare minimum. Like, for instance, government jobs like the post office are doing the bare minimum to get by. Whereas I know that like I'm working pretty close to as hard as I can, but I know if I work harder and smarter, I can potentially see more benefit from that. And really, it was a book called The Instant Millionaire. I think I heard this from Les Brown, but I read the book The Instant Millionaire, where like if you really want to see what you can do, put yourself in a position where you can't retreat. And so that kind of happened to me in November when I lost those vet jobs and I realized this YouTube thing is it. It has to work. I started firing on all cylinders and just doing like as much as I possibly could to make this work.
I like it. That motivation you have, I think, is one thing that might be speaking to a lot of people, because I know that, you know, myself, I left the corporate scene almost 2 years ago, a year and a half, and now I'm, you know, a mercenary, and I'm making money in different ways and such like that, and I'm at that point where I have to, because it took about a year, I think, to... I thought, okay, when I'm done with like that day, I thought now I'm going to be revived and I'll get back to life. I'll be a teenager again or something like that. But no, I walked in circles lost for a year, just shaking off that corporate shock, that lethargy, and it pisses you off, you know? Mm-hmm. But then you come back to life and you go, okay, yeah, I got to make it work. And that's like the art of war, where it says, hey, if you want your army to be victorious, have them fight with their backs to a cliff. Because when you have no choice, then you do want it. I mean, like, I like that. So it's good that you got yourself in that situation, because I think that the energy of that situation that you were in, I think, is it shows in your videos. I like that. And that's part of the positivity. It's like, because for one thing, it's not that hard. People, you aren't actually facing a like a real battle. Your back's not to a cliff. You just need to want it. That's it. Just start wanting it. I hope that your next YouTube channel will be maybe like Health Love. That seems like, is there going to be an evolution like that? Like, oh.
Yeah, I've definitely thought about it. I mean, right now, I think the cryptocurrency channel is pretty much all consuming for me. But I do plan on having future YouTube channels. Like, I never thought I'd be a YouTuber. I didn't even think that was something that was possible. And then somehow, all of a sudden, I'm a YouTuber. But I realized how... kind of how easy it is to be a YouTuber, at least potentially. So I do plan on having another channel in the future, and I think I'm just going to have it, you know, with my name, like Randall Troska's channel or whatever it is, just because I want, like, I realize that I'm very passionate about the things I'm passionate about, and being able to just make YouTube videos about that would be awesome. So doing stuff on health, doing stuff on meditation, doing stuff on video games because I like playing them, doing stuff on car repair because I like fixing cars, doing whatever it is that I'm doing, just making YouTube videos of that, because, again, the people who want to see me and see what I'm doing are going to watch those, and the people who aren't, but I'm going to relate best to the people who are interested in the things that I'm interested in. So that's definitely the next evolution. I don't know how soon that's going to come out, but that's definitely something that's been brewing in my brain.
So that covers what's next, I guess, that you're working on. And so we're at a great, so this has been great. I mean, we covered so much content so quickly, and which of course makes sense because you're a pro at it. So I can just follow you along, and it makes it really easy to cover a lot in under an hour. It's only been 43 minutes. So, I think we covered what's next, but if there's anything next you didn't cover, let us know. And where can people get a hold of you and learn more about Crypto Love?
Sure. So the best place to find me is on YouTube. Just search Crypto Love, or just search Crypto Love on Google. It's two words. In terms of social media, I do have my brother handling that for me, just because I don't like using social media, but I know it needs to be done. I just don't enjoy doing it. So, best place is just on YouTube. You can find daily videos about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, daily news videos, interviews, reviews, all types of stuff on there. In terms of what next, we do have we're going to have a Crypto Love Academy coming out within probably a month or so. I'm just trying to add as much content to it as I possibly can, so it'll be like a no-brainer deal for people when they do it. Also, in July 13th to 15th, I'm going to be in Lisbon, Portugal for the Infinite Man Summit. So that's the next event I'm going to. That is an event on spirituality, finances, relationships. And so it's an awesome event put together by a YouTuber that I had a big crush on back before I was a YouTuber, Sasha Daygame. So he's a YouTuber who I just watch his stuff all the time. And so he put on that event. He's going to be there. I'm going to be there talking because I went to the event last year. This was before I started the channel. He saw how well the channel did. He wants me to talk at the event. And the Dollar Vigilante is going to be there as well. So it's going to be a pretty cool event. That's again, July 13th through the 15th. So there's that coming up. And then I'm just planning on, right now I'm recovering from my last traveling the world event where I did like a month of just traveling around, going to different crypto events. So I need a little bit of home time first. But after that, I'm going to be doing some more crypto events in the future. I think also August in Philadelphia, there's another crypto event I'm doing the end of August.
That's perfect. Well, hey, at Infinite Man, if you can record that and put it up on Crypto Love, that would be awesome if that's possible. I know a lot of people I would like to see you speak there. So that's fun. Well, I'm glad you're getting out there. And, well, I guess that covers it. I mean, this has been great. It's been truly inspirational. That's what we do here at Radiant Creators, is we interview inspiring people to inspire others. And it seems like that's what your channel is about in part, really, is to your inspiration to inspire others. So, this has been great. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, Craig, it's been absolutely awesome. I mean, you made some great questions. I really enjoyed answering them. And yeah, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for reaching out. And we'll stay in touch.
Yeah. Okay. End it with the do it.
Peace.
All right. Great. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.